Amen. It's smart, isn't that smart? That's smart. Amen. Well, it just keeps getting gooder and gooder around here. Is that proper grammar up here? It is in Tennessee. I can say that in Tennessee and get away with it. Well, the Bible says that we're to be instant in season and out of season, and to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. And I believe I've done enough reproving and rebuking this week. So tonight I'm going to bring you a little message on exhortation. So something to let you feel really, really good about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Hey, have you ever been given a Christmas gift and out of shock, someone said, hey, I got this for you for Christmas, and they give you a gift and you don't have anything to give them in return? Isn't that an awkward feeling? Oh, thanks. Looking for something you can give them. Here, this is for you. It's really awkward. Don't you think it'll be awkward with all of what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be giving to us and has given to us? If we don't have as much as we possibly can to give back to him. That's a good question for us to ask. I want to bring a message to you tonight in closing of this revival, which has been super. I'm revived. I don't know if you are. Yeah. I mean, seriously, revival is personal. So you have a whole group of people. Some might be revived and some not. Yet it was the same book, the same preacher, the same messages. Some people get revived, some don't. Why? It's a decision. It's a personal decision. Whether or not you want to be revived. Yeah, I mean, you can stiff arm God the same way that, running backs stiff arm and to keep, blockers away. We can stiff arm God and just keep him at a distance. But I don't feel that that's what's taken place this week. I believe there's been a revival. I really do. I believe it's going to be something that's going to stick around with us for a while. And then, your pastor keeps having people in to stir you up. And that's a wonderful thing. For what reason? To take it out there. To take it out there. Because they desperately need it. That world is dying and going to hell. Turn your Bible, if you would, to 2 Corinthians 5. I'm going to bring a message to you tonight entitled, Share and Share Alike. Share and Share Alike. Exactly what does that mean? It means I'm going to share with you, and you're likewise going to share with me. We share and share alike. It goes back and forth. There's just some people you can never outgive. We've got a lady in our church that Jenny's constantly trying to do for, taking her to lunch and bringing her a little present and, just doing nice things, but you can never outgive her. She just gives and gives and gives and gives and gives. I mean, she is a great representative of the Lord Jesus Christ who just keeps on giving. 2 Corinthians 5, look at verse 21 with me. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Lord Jesus, we need you tonight. We need your presence. We invite you. We ask that you meet with us. And we ask that you do a work in our lives. God, we know we can never outgive you, but we should never stop trying to. Lord, you've done so much for us. We're debtors. We're truly debtors. But I pray you'd help us to do our very best to please you. Lord, that's why we were created. Help us, Lord, the same way that you've shared with us. Help us to share alike with you. For the honor and glory of Jesus Christ, I pray these things. Amen. Point number one tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I'll share my righteousness with you. His righteousness. It's all his. And there's nothing that you could have done to get it on your own. Nothing I could have done to get it on my own. It had to be shared with me. Couldn't be earned. There's nothing I could have done. Couldn't go to church for 40 years. Couldn't read that Bible through 50 times. Couldn't have gotten baptized. Couldn't have been a good enough person. The only way I had access to that righteousness was if he shared it with me. That's what he did for us, folks. But when he shared his righteousness, he also did something else. He took sin upon himself. You see, he said, I'm going to give you my righteousness, and I want you to share your sin back with me. I'll share my righteousness if you share your sin. Wow. Who got the better end of that deal? Turn your Bible to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to look at some Bible tonight. I hope you don't mind that. Because if you do, I'm going to preach till midnight. Philippians chapter 3. The Bible says in verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And that's what each and every one of you received when you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You see, I don't know all of your salvation testimonies. Obviously, it's not my place to know that. It's the pastor's place. But maybe there's just one here tonight that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, has not shared in his righteousness. Just one. Do you know that tonight could be the night of your salvation? Tonight could be the night that you receive the greatest gift you'll ever receive. All you have to do is share your sin with him. All you have to do is say, Lord Jesus, take my sin upon you in exchange for your righteousness. Wow, what a deal. Who in the world would not take him up on that offer? The Bible says in Romans 5:17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. You know, if he has shared his righteousness so freely with us, which he did, free, shouldn't we be more apt to want to share his righteousness with others? Why did he give us his righteousness? It wasn't just to keep it all to ourselves. He wants us to spread it out. He wants us to share it with others. And yet he gave it to us so freely, and he took our sin upon himself. And how many times do we find ourselves with our lips locked when it comes to an opportunity for us to share the gospel, to share his righteousness? I gave it to you, now share it. Same way as we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, why did he have compassion on us? That we might have that same compassion, share that same compassion with others. With the compassion we receive, we can then show compassion to others. That's why he gives to us, for us to then distribute and share. And to share, his righteousness must be shared. The second point, I'll share my relationship with you. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. I'll share my relationship with you. In 1 John chapter 3, and look what it says in verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That's his name. He's the Son of God. And he allows us to share in his name. We get to call ourselves, I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. If you're born again here tonight, you're a son of God. You're a child of God. And if you're not, there's this thing called an adoption. You can be adopted into the right family tonight. Adopted. Yeah, why would I be adopted? Because the Bible says in John chapter 8 that your father is the devil. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, your daddy is the devil. And at the end, when you die, you have to go and live where your daddy lives. So when you die, if your daddy is the devil, you got to go live with him. But if the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, is your daddy, you get to go and live with him. It's an adoption whereby we cry, Abba Father. Abba Father. I get translated from one family into another. How did I do that? Just like I said, by giving him my sin and taking upon him, myself, his righteousness. And I get to call myself a son of God. He allowed us to share in his name. He could have let us call ourselves anything else, animated dirt balls or anything we wanted to call ourselves. But he said, you can call yourself sons of God. That's my name, and I'm letting you take it. What a God. I remember when I married Jenny, and she had a son. His name is Aaron, and he was 11 at the time. And we were trying to meld two families together. It was a little bit, you know, there were bumps in the road. And I remember Luke was away at school or whatever, and he had come home. And when he walked in the house, the first he saw Aaron there. I think we were playing pool or something. And he saw Aaron, and he told me later, he says, I walked in the house. I said, what in the world are you doing in my house? You know, what are you doing? What are you doing playing pool with my dad? That's my dad. You know? And he wasn't ready for a little brother. And I, you know, basically introduced him to Aaron, and now they're best friends. That's great. It wasn't that way at the beginning. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is so gracious. And he says, you're going to have the same relationship that I have. You're going to become a son of God by accepting what I've done for you. I don't know how anybody could go out of here tonight not knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior. To take the risk of even getting behind the wheel of a car. You know how many people, even today, I don't know how many, but I can guarantee you it's a lot in this world that woke up this morning not knowing that they were going to get ushered into eternity. And now it's too late. Now they're Bible believers, but it's too late. Please, if you're in here tonight and you don't know the Lord, do not delay. Do not delay. If you're born once, you're going to die twice. You'll die physically, and then you'll die a spiritual death. That's called the second death. But if you're born twice, born physically out of your mama, and then born again by the Spirit of God, you'll only have to die once. And you'll live forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know, if he shared his relationship with us, shouldn't we strive to act more like a son? I mean, have you ever heard the expression, he's his father's son? They look at a little boy, they go, he's his father's son. He acts just like his father. I want them to say that about me. I want them to say, he's definitely a child of the King. He's definitely a son of God. He acts just like his father. Boy, what a compliment that would be. All right, let's look at point number three, the third thing that the Lord shares with us. Turn to Revelation chapter 12. He's just so giving, folks. He wants to give. Is that our heart towards him? I want to give more to you, Lord. I want to do more for you, Lord. More. He's just a giver. Revelation 12:5. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. It's his throne. It's his throne. But Revelation chapter 5, just go back a few chapters. And in verse 10, it says, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. We're going to reign with him. I'll share my reign with you, he says. I'm going to share my reign. It's mine. I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I will be the benevolent dictator of this world, but I'm going to share my reign with you. Wow. Kings and priests, the Bible says. The Bible says he's raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But this verse really threw me for turn to Revelation 3. Look at Revelation 3. And look at verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He's the one that belongs on the throne. Just him. But he says, you're going to sit there with me. I'm going to let you sit in my throne. I'm the King of Kings and I'm the Lord of Lords. I'm the creator of all. And I'm going to allow you, my children, the sons of God, that are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that have shared with me their sins so that I could then share with them my righteousness. You're going to sit in my throne with me. I don't know. You know, when I saw this and I put all this together, God, why? Don't you know I told you I'm a professional lost person? Or at least I was. Now I'm, saved, but still, this flesh stinks. It's rotten. And it causes me sometimes, as Paul said, to do the things that I would not want to do. The things that I do, I would not, and that which I would not, that I do. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? O wretched man that I am. And you want me to sit in your throne with you? And you want me to reign on this earth with you? And you're going to allow me to be called a son of God? You're going to do all that for me? And I know how much I stink? Boy, you talk about love. You talk about love. And that's why you can read Hebrews 11 and all the sins are gone. And everyone is proclaimed righteous. And Abraham was faithful in all things. And I say, Lord, you have almighty amnesia. He was not faithful in all things. I mean, and you even have Barak in there. I mean, Barak, Lord, you remember what he did? You know, Deborah told him to go to battle, and he went to Deborah and said, I'll only go if you go. And yet he's in the hall of faith. How'd that happen? He says, he shared his sins with me, and I shared my righteousness with him. He's a son of God. He's going to sit in the throne just like you and just like all these people in here that know me as their Savior. What a God. What a God. Let's look at point number 4. I'll share my right with you. Turn to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And in verse 1, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Why? Why him? He prevailed over sin. He prevailed over death. He prevailed over the grave. He prevailed to open the book. You know, all judgment, the Bible says in John 5:22, all judgment is committed unto the Son. He's the judge of all. All judgment is committed unto the Son. But you know what the Lord Jesus Christ did? He's sharing that right to judge with us. He is. He's sharing it with us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, turn over there. Why was he worthy, folks? He was worthy because he was the only one with no beams, no planks, or no any specks in his eye. He was perfect. He is perfect. Now, if I was God, you would not be sitting in the throne with me. I can tell you that right now. That would be for me. If I had to die and go through what he went through, the torture that he went through, the mockery that he went through, if I had to go through that, I'm sitting in that throne by myself. Can you believe that he would share all of that with us? And he knows, you know, and we all look good tonight, don't we? Yeah. Remember my verse, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. But we all look good tonight. But you know the thing is, he knows our hearts. He knows this thing in here that Jeremiah says is more deceitful and wicked above anything on this earth. That means more wicked than the devil himself. And he knows our hearts. And he's still willing to say, I'll give you my name. I'll give you my reign. I'll give you my throne. What have we given him? What have we given him? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, 2, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? Now that's future. It says shall. That's future tense. You know? And I don't know exactly how. It doesn't describe how we'll judge or whatever. All I know this is what belonged to him to judge all things is now being shared with us. Another thing that he has shared with us that belongs to him. And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? He allows us to judge things and the church and between brethren and so on and so forth. He allows us to judge. But yet he judges all things. Maybe we make mountains out of molehills sometimes. And judgment must begin at the house of God. You know, this is where judgment should take place. And you know, if we judged ourselves more here, we would have less to give an account for there. We should judge, starting with ourselves. After all he did for us, the least that we could do for him is at least judge this critter right here. And he says, know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Yeah, angels, the world, matters in the church. He's allowing us to partake in his responsibilities. He loves us. You know, can you just like, I can picture the Lord talking to his father and saying, Father, what else can I give him? I've given him everything I can think of right now. What else? What do you suggest? Anything more I can give them? I just want to give them more and more and more and more. And we sit back and we sometimes say, what's the least I can do to get by? And in Romans 16:20, the Bible says the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet. shortly. How hard are you going to stomp? Under your feet shortly. Considering all the mess that Satan's caused you, I can only imagine how hard you would want to stomp. But you know, if he will share his right of judgment with us, it really should start by us judging ourselves first. And in 1 Corinthians 11:31, it says exactly that. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Judgment begins right here. Right here. Let me show you the fifth point, the fifth thing that he wants to share with you. All right, turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 13. 13, 13, those numbers aren't good. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. His reproach. I'll share my reproach with you. Now, that might be one you say, that's okay, Lord, you can keep that one for yourself. Because that's the sufferings that we go through. The afflictions and the persecutions and the sufferings. But they're all designed for a reason. They're all for a reason. You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13, I'm going to read it for you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached in the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. And that's the purpose, to bear his reproach for the glory of God. Partakers. It means to participate, to be involved. You know, didn't Paul say in Philippians that I may know him and the fellowship of his sufferings? Yeah, we learn more about him when we go through what he went through. Now, the other night I alliterated the word suffering, S-U-F-F-E-R-I-N-G. And my wife told me when I got home, she said, you said for furtherance of the gospel twice. My apologies. It's furtherance of the gospel and the forsaking of sin. But I have those verses after church for anybody that wants those verses. Because suffering's a very important part of your Christianity. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus might suffer persecution. Thank you. Shall. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall. If you're not suffering persecution for Jesus Christ, what does that tell you? We're not living as godly as we should be. We're not as thankful for all that's been shared with us. All of everything I've already gone through that's been shared with us by the Lord Jesus Christ that rightfully belongs to him. And he wants to bring it and give it to us. We're not thankful for it. If we were thankful for it, we would be happy, as Paul and Peter both say, to rejoice when you go through sufferings and trials. You'd be like those guys in Acts 5 that were leaping and praising God, for they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Yes, it's part of it. 2 Timothy 2:12 says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. You know, part of our reign, part of what God will delegate to us during the reign, during the millennial reign, will be based on what we suffer for him during this period. But if we don't want to suffer, you know, how much would we really want to reign? Turn to Hebrews chapter 11 with me. Hebrews chapter 11. And in verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. This is Moses, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Of the reward. Yes. And I can hear the Lord, you know, asking his father, Lord, what more can I give these folks? What more? I love them. I love them so much. I mean, you know, gentlemen, and you felt when you loved your wife, when you were falling in love, when you know, you wanted to get married and all the way, you probably couldn't, you know, give her enough gifts. Buying her flowers, buying her candy, taking her out for dinner, taking her here, taking her there. I mean, you wanted to shower her with gifts. Why? You loved her. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ wants to do for us. To share all of this with us that totally belongs to him. It's 100% his. And he says, I want to share it with you. How much of your life are you willing to share with him? How much of your life can he have? You see what he's bringing to you. And this is yours. This is a promise. But how much of your life does he get? Well, I come to church. Coming to church, I would think, is more for you than it is for him. Yeah. Let's look at the last point. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and in verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. This is like encompassing everything. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul says you cannot compare the light reproach to the exceeding reward. Think about it. Think about it. This is what the Lord is sharing with you. He's going to share his reward with you. You know, when you conquer an army, you get the spoils, right? The Lord's going to come back at the second coming. He's going to conquer this world. He's going to set up his reign on this earth. He should get all the spoils. You know what he says? I'm going to share my reward with my children. With the children of God, with the sons of God. I'm going to share my reward with them. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 7, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also be also of the consolation. When you win, you know, a prize, you get the consolation. When you win a game show or whatever, they give you a consolation. That's a prize. Yeah, there's a prize coming for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will partake in that. He says, so shall ye be also of the consolation. That's what he's bringing to us. Now, does that do anything for you? Yeah, that's a good message, but I'd rather hear about, you know, dispensational salvation, rightly dividing the word, seven baptisms, seven churches, you know, that kind of stuff. The fact that Jesus Christ is going to share all of what belongs to him with you, does it move you? The Laodiceans say, I have need of nothing. Does all of this, what he's going to share with you, move you? I would hope it does. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 55, they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. If we're going to change, it's going to take the fear of the Lord to do it. And I hope that not only have you seen the fear of the Lord this week, I hope that tonight you've seen the love of the Lord. What a Father, what a Lord, what a Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Turn to Revelation 22. Just got a few more verses and we'll be done. Revelation 22. And in verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward. Whose reward? His. My reward is with me. For what reason? To give every man according as his work shall be. His reward to every man according to our work. Every man. He'll share his relationship with you. He'll share his righteousness with you. He'll share his reign with you. He'll share his rights with you to judge. He'll share his reproach with you. And he'll share his reward with you. What a Lord. Turn to Job 31. I remember hearing a message years ago entitled Balancing the Scales. You know, when you owe somebody something, doesn't it bother you? I mean, if I owed somebody $500 and, you know, I would be doing everything I can to get that guy paid back. He was kind enough to lend me $500 and it's been, you know, a month or whatever. I would take on a second job, take on a third job if need be, because I don't like going to bed at night knowing that this guy is in need of that money and, you know, I have his money and I owe it him. I owe it back to him. Does it bother you to be in debt? We owe the Lord so much. And what are we doing? To even attempt to balance the scales. Even attempt. We know we can never balance it. I know that. But does that mean we shouldn't be trying? I press toward the mark for the prize. Job chapter 31. Look at verse 6 with me. Let me be weighed in an even balance that God may know mine integrity. Wow. That God may know mine integrity. You know what integrity? Integrity is a wonderful thing. I've heard people say integrity is what a man does when no one else is looking. Things like that. Just character. I owe him so much. Do you know how many people that the Lord sent my way to get me to where I am today? How many people? I remembered when I was in college and I had a co-op job, an engineering job, and this girl that she worked at the same place and she lived down the road and she says, I'll pick you up in the mornings, I'll take you to work. And she would pick me up and all the way to work. And I know why she did it now. She was trying to witness to me the whole way to work. And I wanted nothing to do with it. I said, just stop it. Stop talking about that stuff. And the Lord sent that person. And the Lord sends another person. And then I marry Miss Pam. And then, you know, just one thing led to another. And then Jay Abish and just people in my life that the Lord sent. People that prayed for me. I'm talking about not just a couple prayers. I'm talking about hours and hours of prayer. The Lord invested into me. And he invested into you. You're not here because of yourself. There were pastors and Sunday school teachers and school bus workers or church bus workers that brought you in and people that brought you to church and prayed with you, encouraged you, put their arm around you, took you out for a coffee, had you over for supper. People invested into you. We owe a debt, Christians. we owe a debt. How much of what has been done for you are you now doing for others? That's why the Lord wants that investment into you. Same way that he puts his righteousness in you, for what? For you to share it. The investment that's been put into you by this pastor, by this church, by these people, by others outside of here, it's been put into you for a reason. Share and share alike. Let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. We're to share his righteousness. We're to act like an ambassador or a king or a priest, since we're going to be reigning with him. We should judge ourselves hardest because of the judgment he's allowed us to partake in. We should endure hardness because of the reproach that we're going to have to go through. We need to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And lastly, we need to learn to just be more thankful. All of what's been shared with us. What in the world does it cause you to want to do? Does it cause you to say, Lord, can I give you more? You know, we used to sing a song. I'll wish I had given him more. I'll wish I had given him more. How much more? More Bible reading? More praying? Where did they ever come up with that name, Sweet Hour of Prayer? You know, Jesus said it in the Gospels. He said, could you not have waited for 1 hour with me? Watch and pray. I think that's where the Sweet Hour of Prayer might have come from. But anyway, how's your prayer life? People prayed for you. Are you praying for others? Tonight, as we conclude this revival, what will you share with him? You've heard a whole bunch that he's sharing with you. What he has shared with you, what he will share with you. What are you willing to share with him? More of your time, more of your talents, more of your treasures, more witnessing, more Bible reading. I just don't want myself nor any of you to have regrets at the judgment seat when we see him, and to think in our hearts. I mean, imagine his face. Imagine the nail-pierced hands and feet. Imagine, he'll have the only body that's marred. He'll have the nail-pierced hands and feet. And you'll look at those, and you'll think about what was done on Calvary for you, knowing you didn't deserve any of it. None of it. You deserved torment. I deserved hellfire. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. And he did that for me. Will you say in your heart, when you see him face to face, I wish I had given you more? I hope that's not the case. Preacher.